You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
I have loved this season of ministry here in talking about freedom. And not free to do what we want to do, but free to be what we ought to be. And freedom, if I'm free and I think I can do anything I want to do, it leads me right back into bondage. It leads me right back into being trapped. So freedom is not I can do whatever I want. It's a freedom to live the way God intended for me to live. We've talked about some exciting things, exciting subjects that are intriguing. And I think about that. I think, man, our church, it's an exciting place. I thought worship this morning, I loved our worship experience. And then I thought that last song, it was just, there was something to it that just brought joy to my heart. And I love joining together, being with you. And then I think about the things we talk about. And we talk about real life issues right out of the Bible. And you think about this in this Freedom Series, we've talked about three big ones when it comes to living. And, you know, we all hear about sex, power, and money. And guess what? We've talked about all of those things and how the Bible teaches us and shows us. And so this morning, we're talking about freedom from the pull of possessions. I encourage you, if you haven't been here, perhaps go back and listen. And there's some messages I believe would be a blessing to you. And then I always tell folks this: if you can't sleep at night, just put on one of our messages. It'll help you fall asleep. They're sending them to nursing homes all over the area, and they say the folks are sleeping well. So, breaking free, freedom from the pull of possessions. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20 says, "Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are human eyes." Now, what does that mean? It's this: human desires are like the world of the dead. There's always room for more. And human desires, there's this, I just want more. And living in America and Western culture, there's this incredible undermining of desire to say, if you just had more, you'll be satisfied. A part of human nature is greed and envy, and the world and the enemy plays off of that. And so many people buy in, and not just people of the world, so to speak, but I'm talking about Christians as well, that buy into this idea that I have to have more stuff. And you know where I'm going with this. It ends up where we are strapped by debt. And regardless of income, we just can't seem to get out. The problem is we spend more than we make. The expressions, our yearning exceeds our earnings. And it's been said, when your outgo exceeds your income, then it's going to end up with a downfall. It's amazing how we dig deeper and deeper in debt. And when I did some research on this, I thought, well, we've got to be doing better. But we're not. Credit card debt continues. You know, we live in a world where housing markets, where housing interests, even though they've crept up a little bit, there have been at an all-time low. But yet on the credit card side, interest rates continue to be at all-time highs. And people go into debt not realizing how detrimental debt is. Why do people spend more than they make? There's a lot of different reasons. And understand, it's human nature and it's us, but it's our, I mean, we live in a society, a government that spends more than it's make. Our debt load is destroying us. We don't tend to talk about it. We don't like to focus on it. But why do we spend more? Well, a lot of times it's self-esteem. People get their value from things. It's just they desire. And they take scripture out of context, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. I believe that when our heart is after God, I believe that when we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I do believe it will change your desires. And your desires will not be for this world, it will be more for God. Amen? Sure. Keeping up with others, that competition, lack of knowledge, not realizing how expensive consumer debt is. I just explained to you mortgage, and I don't consider mortgage as a debt, and most Peace University, others don't look at it in that way. But yet, mortgage interest down, but credit card debt or easy access to getting money, easy credit, is destructive, and people don't realize how much it hurts. The Bible talks about this. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." There's not a lot of savings. Savings is at an all-time low in our nation. There's not a lot of savings and our giving is directly related to our spending and to our debt. We're rarely satisfied with what we have, and so we continue to spend ourselves into this place of debt. Why are we not satisfied? Why is there in so many this desire, this lack of self-control, lack of the spirit, fruit of the spirit, self-control when it comes to money? We talk about it with anger, which is related to power. We talk about it with sexual desire and the parameters that God gives. Well, God gives some specific direction when it comes to money. And in fact, and you've heard me say this every time we've talked on tithing, giving, generosity, that the Bible has more to say about money than it does heaven or hell or love. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on how we take care of what God has given us to steward. And that's an important point to grasp a hold of. We are simply stewards of our resources because we know that everything belongs to God. And so, why this lack of satisfaction? Well, point number one, if you are following along with the scripture notes on the Bible app, it's this. Misconceptions about possessions is having more stuff will make me happy. It's a misconception that if I have more stuff, I just need the newest, the latest, and technology is always coming out with more. But I've just got to have it. There's no sense of delayed gratification. There's no sense of self-control. I've just got to have more stuff. And wow, do we ever live in a day and age of stuff? In fact, we buy houses and we have big garages, But our big grudges are not for our cars. They're for our stuff. And then what do? We go to Uncle Bob's. We find a storage unit to put our stuff. And we forget what's in there. And we're leaving it for our kids so they can go through the stuff. Here's what I've determined. My kids don't care about my stuff. So might as well take care and save them some trouble right there. You know, this thought came across us going through this and in contemplating the message. And I thought, you know, if I was going to start a business, what business would I start? And by the way, I wish someone here would start and buy a Chick-fil-A franchise for Orange Beach. I just want to say that. Oh, somebody say, oh, yeah. Now, if I was going to start a business, I think I might start a storage business. It seems like everybody's doing it. There's a lot of them been built. Because why? We just got all this stuff. The Bible says this, Ecclesiastes, the wisest man to ever live. Whoever loves money never has enough. And that was from a man who was probably the richest man to ever live. Whoever has money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes upon them? Listen to this verse, James 5. Now listen, you rich people, and understanding the day and age in which we live and being Americans and in light of the world, we are rich. I think this is to all of us. Listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that's coming on you. Your wealth has rotted. Your moths have eaten your clothes. Remember when we talked about lay not up for yourself treasure on earth where moth, we talked about moths don't eat the clothes you have on. They eat all the clothes that you're storing, that you're hoarding. And James talks about this. He says, your moths have eaten your clothes, your gold and your silver are corroded. The corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. That struck me because I contend that we live in the last days and we've hoarded wealth in the last days. See, the Bible's not against saving. The Bible speaks of leaving an inheritance to your children. But there's a difference between being good stewards and this hoarding. You've hoarded wealth. You've not used it. And I'm going to talk about how wealth is to be used. Scripture says here, not hoarded. We know this. We're remembered not for what we have, but we're remembered for what we give. And so this idea, more stuff, Scripture says it's just being eaten up. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, better are the eyes than the roving of the appetite. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What he's saying is it's better to be satisfied with what you have than always wanting something else. But we're a society that wants bigger, better, newer, and want it now. And here's another issue concerning debt and I would speak to younger generations. And I struggled with this when Liz and I first got married. You know, my mom and dad, they weren't rich, but their house was paid for, their cars were paid for. They were good stewards of money. They had saved. My dad had X amount of dollars that he wanted to save, that he put away so that each of us kids would inherit inherit something. But I look, when we get married, I look at them and I think, I want what they have. And I want it now. And there's that tendency to look at older mom and dad or those that and say, I want it and I want it now. But we don't realize how they were diligent, how they saved, how they gave, how they were prudent, how they were wise in their spending to get to where they are. This is real practical, rubber meet the road. Are you with me? Amen? And so we have to guard ourselves because we think if we have this stuff and if we have it now, we also think this, that, you know, stuff makes us important. Stuff will make me important. When we get that concept that what I own, my valuables determine my value. I'm valuable not because I have accumulated anything. The problem with this, having more stuff makes me important, is it puts us in that place. We spend money. It's that old cliche. I think my dad said it for years, and I think he accredited Billy Graham's wife for saying it, but we buy stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And that's what happens. This stuff makes me important. I think that someone will somehow think that I'm successful or I have something when all the time I'm digging myself into a hole. And so we have to guard ourselves from thinking that stuff will somehow prop us up and make us more important. Don't confuse your net worth with your self-worth. Amen? Are you expecting things to make you happy? And then here's the third thing. Having more stuff will make me secure. Having more stuff will make me secure. And this is really a big one with Americans. Because we think, I want to be financially independent. And then I can be secure. Financial independence equals security. Proverbs 11:28 says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Proverbs 18 and verse number 11. I believe in your notes it says Proverbs 18:18. And scratch that out. Write this one down. Proverbs 18:11 says, Proverbs 18:11 says this. The rich man thinks of his wealth as a high wall, a fence of safety around them. People think that their money is their safety. It's their security. But how many ways can you lose everything overnight? What does it take? Does it take a terrorist attack? God forbid, the United States and markets go crazy and dollars devalued. See, we place our security, I want to be financially independent, and that is my safety, but we can lose it overnight. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. We're placing it on something that can be greed. I want to be financially independent. I can be self-sufficient. I considered self-made. Isn't there something in here, self-sufficient, self-made? Isn't there something wrong with those words right there? Aren't we to be God-dependent? Hello? Focused upon him. we've heard the story over and over. In fact, my dad told it when I was a kid. How do you catch a monkey in the jungle? They'd put a gourd out there and put a rope on it and tie it on there and put a nut or a piece of candy in that gourd, cut a hole in there so a monkey could get his hand through to grab that nut that's inside. But when he makes a fist, he can put his hand through this way, but when he makes a fist, he can't get it out. And sometimes we get trapped in this idea that we are secure by our finance and by our resource. We become possessed by our possessions. I know this sounds like a radical question, but let me ask you this. If you own something and God told you to give it away right now, could you do it? Would you do it? If you own something and God tells you to give it away and you don't give it away, you could say you don't own it, but it owns you. It's just a thought. There's been a few times God's asked me to give away something. And I'll tell you, there's been a couple things in my life that God asked me to give away that I struggled with. And I'll give you an example, not to show attention, but maybe to identify. I've always kind of liked cars. I had a guy call me, it was a part of my church, say, "Pastor, we just got a trade-in." He goes, "I think it's something you'd really like. It's a classic Jaguar. 89 bonnet goes up on it. That old smoky leather smell inside it with the wood on it. And it was a steal. I didn't pay much money for it. It wasn't a money thing. It was, I really liked this thing. And I drove it and I loved it. It was the coolest. It was white, and it just had that grill on the front, everything about it. And I had it several years, and it just kind of set, and I would drive it occasionally. And one day, we were starting a building fund at the church. I felt like God say, "Why don't you sell that and give it to the church?" And I said, "Well, God, it's not worth that much money anyway. I mean, that's not going to help. We're raising millions. What's $2,500, $3,000 going to do?" I think it was, for me, it was one of those tests in life. Will you obey me with this? He did it with another thing. He always does it with things I love. I don't know why he does that. But I had season tickets to the Warriors, and I felt like he said, "Why don't you give those tickets up and give that money to the building fund?" I'm saying, "God, my Jaguar and my tickets, let's talk about something else. What if I just gave that money and I got to keep the stuff?" It wasn't the issue. And that sounds silly. I know it does, and those were small. And God just was testing my obedience. But think about this. There was a rich young ruler that came. What do I need to do? Well, you need to live right and obey the law. Well, I've done that. Then sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Oh, I can't do that. He went away sorrowfully. Why? Because his possessions. God's not anti-possessions. Listen to me. God is not anti-possession. He's not anti-blessing. He's not anti-money. He knows it takes money. It's what we do. He created work, this whole idea. But it's when our stuff starts controlling us and we start thinking it's more about what we have. Are you with me this morning on this? Money has ruined families. Families have got into feuds, more lawsuits, over inheritance, more hurt over money than probably anything else. And yet it's what everybody thinks, well, that's where we get our security. And it's just not true. Let me hustle this morning because there's some things I want to get across. How do we break free? How do we break free from that allowing stuff to control us? We think we love God first, but we get attached to our stuff. Number one is this: I find my satisfaction in serving my Heavenly Father. This is how to break free from the pool of possessions. Is my satisfaction is in pursuing the Father. I love Him. And when I love God the way I'm supposed to love God, with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, guess what? Then everything else begins to line up. But when I start loving my stuff, then God takes a back seat. And God says, don't have any other gods before me. Don't allow money. Don't allow our possessions. But have a passionate love for God. And then things, all of a sudden, things come into a line. We just talked about security. This always comes to my mind when I think about security. You know, when we're in a desperate situation, all of a sudden, stuff doesn't matter. When we're in life and death situation, all of a sudden, what I have, it's not a big deal. My dad, and I shared this in steak night this past week, but my dad was laying in a sanitarium with tuberculosis, with holes in his lungs. He was hemorrhaging blood, spitting up blood. I was just a little guy. I remember going into the laundry room and finding and just seeing in the laundry basket, put something in, seeing handkerchiefs that were just covered, just completely blood-soaked. They'd taken my dad to this place, and I've heard him give testimony about that healing process that happened in him. But he said, when I laid there, and he said, and I'm crying out to God, saying, God, I just want to see that little redheaded boy graduate high school. Just let me live long enough to see him grow up. And he's pleading with God. He said, I didn't know. I couldn't remember. It was my house. Did it have one or two car garage? Is my car a two-door or a four-door? He said, because when I thought I was going to die, all of a sudden the stuff of this world didn't matter anymore. It's having the right perspective. It's keeping Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the center of our life. I'll explain more how this all comes together. I find happiness In serving others, serving God and serving others. You might add on there, serving others. Acts 20:35, it says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's something about serving. There's something yesterday about Island Mobile Food Pantry. There's something about that when I stand there to pray at the beginning. There's just something that's so, to me, so pure and so precious. That folks are giving up time and effort, and it's hot, and they're going to work for those hours. They're just going to give. You know, it's just trying to find those times in life. Maybe it's serving our wife. It's helping in things that maybe I'm not as skilled as she is, or that maybe it's not my thing, but that I'm able to shut the TV off, shut the game off, and say, hey, can I help you? It's serving my kids. It's serving my neighbors. It's serving one of you. There's just something that seems to line up, that seems to make it right, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do when I serve, when I give myself to help others. Do I get tired? Oh, I get tired. But there's something about serving that's energizing. I can come on a Sunday morning, come to this pulpit and be tired, not been able to sleep the night before, or maybe it was my own selfishness. I just stayed up later than I should have. But I will tell you this, when we serve, the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What wait, root word of wait or waitress, when they that wait, they that serve the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you may be as tired as can be. And that lazy boy might be like a bear that's holding you down. But if you can crawl out of it and you can serve, guess what? You're going to get energy. Because we were created to serve, to love, to give. But when we hoard and when we take in and we make it about us, life gets weary and tiresome. But God created us. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Somebody say amen this morning. All right, here's the second thing. In breaking free, I find my self-worth in knowing my Heavenly Father. Isaiah says this, since you are precious and honored in my sight. Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air. They sow or they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. How about this? God demonstrates his love for us while I was still a sinner. Christ died for me. And so I find my self-worth in serving my Father and doing as he does and serving others. And I find my self-worth in knowing I'm complete. Colossians says, I am complete in Christ. He finds worth in me. You've heard me say it this way time and time again. How do you establish the price of a commodity? By what someone is willing to pay for it. What did God pay? He paid his only son. You are valuable today. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your struggle. This is a message on being generous, on not letting stuff trap us. But everyone in this room needs to know, if you're facing sickness, you're facing disease, you're facing struggle, you're facing it relationally or financially, God is a personal God. He knows your need. He's provided everything you need in his word. God loves you today. Amen. He is every person in this room. He is your answer. What a God. What a privilege. So why in the world would I trust stuff when I've got a God who loves me in such an incredible way? Freedom. Freedom comes when I discover it's God's love for me, his love for me, because finances are directly related to our performance, and we think it's what we do, and I perform, and I make money, therefore I'm valuable. But oh, when that epiphany happens, that he loves me, and it's not based on who I am, what I've done, who my daddy is, how much I have, but it's based on the fact he created me in the image, in his image. And then I'll close with this. I find my security in trusting my Heavenly Father. I love this verse. Keep your lives free, Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Isn't it interesting that he said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, in conjunction with talking about money. Keep your lives free from money, because I am going to take care of you. I trust him. That is my security. The Bible says this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. People misquote this verse all the time. It's not money, it's the love of money. That's the root of all evil. Now grab a hold of this. This is so important. We are to love God, and we're to love others, and we are to use things. Did you hear that? We are to love God, we're to love others, and to use things. But when we start loving things, then we start using others. When we love money, we use people. But when we got love God, when we love God and we love others, then we understand money is just simply a tool to be used.